Mary pondered. When it comes to the volume that's written in the New Testament, Mary holds a very small place. She is nowhere near the Apostle Paul in the subject matter. She's nowhere near Peter and many of the other apostles. But may I say, she's huge in the history of the church and in the history of Christianity. I'm sure were it not for her that God would have chosen another girl. But yet, she was willing to be a vessel of the Lord. Think of the thousands of girls that had been raised in Israel and the hundreds of years that preceded the birth of Jesus. They had read the prophets. They had had their fathers lead them and their mothers talk to them about the prophecies of those Old Testament prophets. They would read Isaiah, and those mothers, after the fathers maybe had left to go to work and go out to the fields to tend to the crops or to the livestock, they would say, one of these days, there's going to be a Messiah that's going to be born. And there's going to be a young girl that will be blessed by God. It could be that you could be that girl. And throughout the centuries, those girls would think, I wonder if I could be the one. 2,000 years ago, that girl was chosen. And her name was Mary. She was probably a teenager. Estimates run anywhere from 14 to about 18. I think she was probably somewhere maybe 15, 16 years of age, because young girls matured faster back then. Very few 16-year-olds today really could carry the responsibility that these girls did 2,000 years ago. And one of the things that every one of them longed for, being a young Jewish girl, is they wanted to be a wife and a mother. And so here she is, she's somewhere around 16 years of age, and she's betrothed to a man that's probably in his early 20s. And so she's thinking about her wedding. She's thinking about it won't be long until the year-long wait is over during what we would call the engagement time. And then one night, an angel shows up. It's always amazed me, her response to the angel. If I were to have an experience with an angel, I'm thinking that I would probably begin hyperventilating. But when you read her response, she doesn't seem to be overwhelmed with it. But yet when Gabriel, who seems to be the messenger of Israel, whenever you read through the Bible, when he begins to give her this message, he says in verse 27 of chapter 1 that you're highly favored. In other words, you have been chosen. You are the favored one out of the thousands of girls in this country. You're the favored one. And you have been blessed by God to be able to bear this child. And she begins to ask a few questions. She says, but seeing I know not a man, how can that be? And the angel Gabriel says, that baby is going to be conceived of the Holy Ghost of God. Which meant that there would be no sin nature that would be transferred to the baby. Because you see, the sin nature is transferred by the man. If you read Romans chapter 5, you would see that. Wherefore, as by sin one man, sin entered into the world, so by Christ, that sin will be taken care of. And so she is highly favored. She is blessed. And she says in verse 38 of chapter 1, she says, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord." In other words, all right, you do with me whatever you want to do with me. I'm willing. Now, when you begin to think about that statement, you think about this. That meant that she was going to be with child, but yet she had not been married. She was only in the betrothal period. And so therefore, as she began to show, people would say, "What's going on?" Well, she went to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. And when she walks in, Elizabeth, who is 6 months farther along in her pregnancy with someone that you know as John the Baptist, when she comes together and sees her cousin Elizabeth and she begins to tell her what's happened, John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb, in her stomach. And so she's thinking about all of these things. And so I want you to look with me at our text verse this morning. I want you to look at verse 19 of chapter 2. But Mary, the highly favored one, the blessed one, the one that was willing to give herself to God, to be God's handmaiden, to do with whatever he chose to do, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When you say, what things? The things that preceded the verse here. If you read chapter 1, chapter 2 of Luke, if you were to flip back, which we will not do for time's sake this morning, over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, you'll begin to read all the things that began to transpire in her life. Remember this. Less than a year ago is when verse 19 was put into play. This is not a 5-year project. In just a few short months, all of this is taking place. And our text says that she kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. I want to give you three words this morning. I want to just try to make it simple for you. I like simple because I'm a simple guy. All right? Three little easy words for you this morning to write down. Number one, I want you to see the word treasuring. Oh, she was treasuring something. If you look with me at verse 19, it says, but Mary kept. The word kept there meant that she treasured that. In her mind is like a treasure chest. In my office, I have a little chest that's on my desk. At home, my wife has three chests that stack on top of each other. And so we don't really use those things a whole lot. But when you're a kid, treasure chests are something special. I know that next year, one of the things that Stephen is going to be doing with some of the kids upstairs, he's going to have a treasure chest, and when they do certain things in our Kidsville at the 11 o'clock hour, they're going to be able to go over to the treasure chest, open it up, and get things out. And all of us have known of pirate movies and pirate stories. And what do they want to do? They want to get treasure. As a child, I was fascinated with things like Treasure Island. And you probably were as well. And so, in her mind, she had a treasure chest that was going on. There were memories that fill this chest. There were words that were just kind of there. What words? Oh, you're highly favored. You're blessed of the Lord. The explanations. Oh, you're going to conceive of the Holy Ghost. What about the kindness of her husband? Was that not a great memory? You think about Joseph, and you know that you have been pure. You know that you have not done anything sinful. But yet, your bride-to-be comes to you and says, I got to tell you something. I'm pregnant. But I've never known a man. Joseph had to be a pretty good guy. Now, granted, he had received word from the Lord also. And so isn't that a wonderful memory to have, that your husband has shown you that great kindness? This morning before I left, my wife came in. I was about to get my coat and my hat. And she put her arms around me and she said, I just want to thank you for being you and for the life that we've had. And I thought, I like that. How many wives are not able to say that to their husbands? And we had a group of ladies at our house on Friday, and one of the ladies said something to me. She said, you've got a wonderful wife. I said, oh, I know. When I got married, I married up. There wasn't any doubt about that. And so can you imagine the love that Mary had because of the understanding of Joseph? I mean, Joseph had to be a man of God, where that he was not willing, first of all, to have her stoned to death. He wasn't even willing to have her publicly ridiculed. He was just going to maybe privately let her go off to somebody's house and have the baby. And the angel said, hey, don't be scared. And so when they began to talk about it, he was okay, her being the handmaiden of the Lord. He was a good man. Is that not a wonderful memory that she treasured in her mind? What about the protection of the Lord? I mean, as she's thinking about all of this, she's thinking about the fact that they had to travel about 100 miles back to Bethlehem. I mean, that's a pretty hard travel when you're already at 9 months. You're not riding in a nice automobile that's, you know, got good suspension on it. No, you're sitting on a donkey, and you're bouncing up and down on those rough roads. I mean, she's probably thinking, if I'm not careful, I could have a medical problem. But yet God superintended that pregnancy, and everything was just right, and she saw the protecting hand of God. May I say that if you go on over to the end of Luke, you'll find that there's a story when Jesus is 12 years old, and he is debating with the doctors and with the lawyers at 12 years of age. His parents had already left, thinking he was with the caravan that was traveling with them. And they realized after they had gone a day's journey, he was not there. And finally they found him a day or two later. And he's in the temple just talking with these guys, answering questions and asking them questions they can't even answer. And what does it say? It says that Mary kept these things in her heart. This is not the only time here where it says that she was pondering. Later on, when he's 12 years old, she's still pondering. She's still thinking. Now, I want you to just think about this for a moment. You've got a girl that starts off at 16. 12 years later, she's probably 28. And during that time, she's thinking about this son of God that she's responsible for. She thought, and she thought, and the more she thought, the more she treasured those wonderful memories. And so, just less than a year in our text, and she's keeping these things. How many of you mothers, at night, maybe your husband's gone to bed, or maybe you older ladies, maybe your husband's already gone to be in glory. You begin to have those flashbacks, and you begin to think about some of the things that your kids did. As a dad, I have those flashbacks. I know my mom, or my mom does concerning me, and I know my wife does concerning our kids. There are some things that you just treasure. And I could begin to give you story after story after story. And you could give me story after story after story of things that you treasure. Just imagine this young girl. And she's got some treasuring going on. But the main focus of the message today is my second point. I want you to look at number two. I want you to see the word thinking. Look at the second part of our text verse. And pondering them in her heart. Two or three years ago, one of the men in our church, he and I were talking. And he gave me what I consider to be one of the greatest compliments that I've ever received. He may not have known it was a compliment, but that's the way that I took it. As we were talking, he looked at me and he said, "You a thinker, aren't you? You like to think." And I called his name and I said, "You know, I do. I like to think things through. I don't want to be rash. I don't want to be illogical. I want to be rational in the way that I decide things. I try not to make split-second decisions on things, especially when I'm in an emotional state. Because when you begin to make quick decisions when you're emotionally frazzled, it's probably going to be wrong." And so, she began to ponder. She began to think about these things. You know, if you look at verse 20, it says that the shepherds returned glorifying God, and they were praising God for the things that they had heard and seen. And so they also were said of these guys in verse 18 that when they heard of it, they wondered at those things. But it says Mary pondered. It's only one letter difference between a W and a P. But there's a big difference in the meanings of those words. You can wonder about something and it be gone in a minute. I wonder about that. I have a table saw and it needs another switch. And I haven't taken time to get the model number off the thing, but I was looking at some of them on my phone yesterday thinking, I need to order one of these things. And I'm thinking, I wonder if that would fit. Can I tell you, I didn't give it but about a 5-minute thought. It'll come back. I'll deal with it sometime in the future when I really need table saw. But I just wondered about it. Wonder if that'll fit because I didn't have all the information that I could have punched in. But there's a big difference in wondering and pondering. The shepherds wondered, but Mary pondered. And when you think about pondering, I want you to know that there are some things that we could use as a meaning of pondering. First of all, if you're going to ponder, you've got to have facts and circumstances. If you're going to truly think something through, you need to think about what's been going on. You need to know dates. You need to know people. You need to know what was said and make sure that you haven't misunderstood what's been said. You need to know what you've seen and experienced yourself and not be deceived, because sometimes we can be deceived about all kinds of things. Have you ever heard something but you really didn't hear what you've heard? I have. Have you ever seen something that you knew was something else but it turned out to be something different? I told this a couple of times over the weekend. As a matter of fact, I told it a few minutes ago. I came into my house the other day and wasn't anybody around, and on the counter there was some little bite-sized chocolates that had caramel in it. And they were there, and I walked by and I didn't have my glasses, and I'm thinking, that looks pretty good. And so I'm thinking, I'll just grab me a couple of those things and, you know, go do what I'm about to do. I reached down, I grabbed two of them, and they were so small that you could basically eat two at once. Now you say, two bites at one time? I can eat a crystal in three bites. All right? I mean, two little old pieces of chocolate and caramel, that's nothing. So I grabbed two of those things, I popped them in my mouth, and all of a sudden they didn't chew. And I'm thinking, that ain't caramel or chocolate. And I began to spit those things out. And I got to looking, and what it was dog treats. And I'm going, what in the world would people put dog treats on the counter for? Well, it's because we got two useless dogs. I saw something that wasn't there. And so when you're considering, when you're pondering, make sure that your facts are accurate. Make sure that what you've heard is accurate. And so she began to roll these things around in her mind. In other words, she's weighing it in her own mind. Another definition would be this. It would be to put things together, connect the dots. She began to think about the circumstances and the events. I mean, here she is, she's just a young girl about to get married. And then out of the blue, an angel shows up. Then she begins to talk to her future husband. Then she sees her cousin. Then she goes back home. Then they make a trip to Bethlehem. They don't have a place to stay. They have to sleep where the animals are at. The next thing you know, a bunch of smelly shepherds show up. And you've got all of these things that are happening. And she's connecting these dots, one dot, two dots, three dots. And all she's seeing is that God is directing her life. Can I tell you that God does you the same way? How often do you think about the things that are going on in your own life? And you look and you see the unseen hand of God. You have a circumstance that just comes up and you just thought, that is just so bad. And then something else will happen and something else will happen and you just think, how am I ever going to deal with this? But once you get past it and you're able to look back with that hindsight and you begin to connect those dots, you begin to go, God was there all the time. You had connected the dots. You had pondered about that. And she was pondering. It's putting things together. It's to give space in your mind. Sometimes we get so, at Christmas especially, we get so congested with everything. Yesterday I had to go to Snellville for a while. That's like being in purgatory. I mean, cars after cars after cars everywhere. And it was raining. And this is a horrible time to drive anyway during the year. This time of year may be the worst time to drive when you're 62 years old. You know, I mean, you just don't have the vision. I feel like getting me some of those yellow goggles that kind of brighten everything. And so everything was congested yesterday. Do we not do our minds that way? We've got presents to buy. We've got parties to go to. We've got phone calls to make. We've got this and we've got that. And we've never taken time to be still and just think about God. Now, we'll give him some, you know, time every once in a while. But can I tell you that the more we think about God, the more joy you're going to have in your heart? I'm getting a little ahead of myself because the third point is going to cover that. But I just want you to know that we've got to give space mentally. Not just at church, but I'm talking about daily. I'm talking about when you wake up in the middle of the night. Think about the goodness of God and how that hand of God has directed you. You think about where you could have been and where you are. You think about back when you were 16 years old and some of them jokers you used to run with. And how that God saved you. And God put you in a whole new group. And the paths that you were traveling, now you're traveling a new path. But yet you look back and you see the guys that you used to run with. And some of them are dead. And some of them are drug addicts. And some of them are drunks. And some of them have been in prison multiple times. And they've had trouble after trouble after trouble. Why? Because they didn't get on that same path. And yet God saved you from that. He's given you a good family. Gave you a good job. Do you not realize that God in his mercy has given you the standard of living that you've got? The goodness of God is overwhelming. The poorest people in this country, I'm talking about the poorest people in this country, live better than 95% of the rest of the world. Do you realize that? I'm talking about the people that we helped out at Thanksgiving and tried to give them a little bit of food. They're better off. Now, they don't think they are, but they're better off than 95% of everybody else on this planet. We have been blessed just by living in this country. I mean, you know, we've got food to eat. I remember years ago, I was talking with a missionary friend of mine. And he told me, he said, "Tommy, the question where I'm at isn't what we're going to eat. The question with these people is if they're going to eat." Well, you think about that for a moment. And then today, when you leave, you'll be able to say, "Well, I want chicken and I want steak. Now I want soup or I want salad." I mean, you can pretty much decide what you want to do today. But some folks in other places, they don't have that. God's been good to us. And I hope that you realize that God's been good to you. And the circumstances that you have gone through, God's let you do that. Ponder those things. And where you're at today, why don't you look back and connect those dots? Weigh it in your mind. Give space in your mind so that you can see the goodness of God and the blessings that come from God's hand. Not only was there treasuring, and not only was there thinking, but let me give you a third thing. There's thanking. I want you to look back with me at chapter 1. And I want you to look with me at verse 46. From 46 to 55, This is what is known as Mary's song. Some people call it the Magnificat. Now, I don't have any idea what music she used, but from 46 to 55, these are verses and words to the song that she would sing. And as we look at this, I mean, there are just all kind of things that you can pick out of it. The great Spurgeon preached out of this passage on Mary's song once, and the title of his message was A 10-String Harp. And what he did was he just took 10 thoughts, and every one of them was a string on his 10-string harp. So what I thought I would do this morning is I thought I would just read the words to you and comment as we go through it, and I'll just be very brief in my comments. But I want you to just think about how you could put this to music. You say, why? Because if you can, in your mind, hum it a little bit, you can remember it. And there can be a thankfulness that's developed in your soul. I mean, when you treasure some of those things that God has given to you, and then you begin to ponder the circumstances that's got you to where you're at, should there not be thanks in your heart? And so I want you to listen to what she sings. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. The word magnify could be used in a way, my soul praises the Lord. Do you know what a magnification is? It makes it bigger. Now, when it says, my soul magnifies the Lord, you can't make God any bigger than he already is. But you can make him look bigger. You can think of him as bigger. Why? When you begin to think of everything that God has done for you, should you not be a thankful person? I mean, at Christmas time, when people are giving gifts right and left. I mean, many of you have given me and my wife already gifts this year. We're receiving Christmas cards in the mail. We're having people give us stuff here at the church. And we thank God for every one of those things. And I am thankful for what you're doing for us. Oh, but I am so thankful for what God has done for us. And so she said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And verse 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Have you ever just closed your eyes, zoned out of everything except just thinking about Jesus saving you? How that when you die, you could have busted hell right open. But because Jesus paid for your sins, you're going to heaven. Is that not enough for us to praise God through all of eternity? Oh, my spirit hath rejoiced. I mean, it is joy to know that we're going to heaven. Hey, we don't need to walk around, you know, with our bottom lip dragging the ground. We were somewhere the other day and, oh, I know where it was at. It was yesterday. We had gone to watch a little basketball game yesterday morning for my grandson. And we were all hungry, so we went to God's Breakfast Shop, which is Cracker Barrel. And Isabella was sitting in a seat. Well, she swapped about three times. Was you want to switch one more time? And somebody told her no, and she put out her bottom lip. Can I tell you, that's what God's people do sometimes? Well, the Lord told me no. I didn't get my way. I wanted this. Why don't we just thank God for what he's done for us? Let there be joy. Not only that, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. What about the humility there? She didn't come from the upper crust. You know, she didn't come from the elite of society. She's just a lowly girl. And yet he hath regarded the low estate. And then he's going for all generations. People are going to say, she's blessed. And can I tell you that that's been so? Now, we Baptists, we do not revere Mary the way that the Catholics do. And I think rightly so. And can I say this, and if you get mad with me, you just need to read your Bible. Mary had to be saved just like anybody else. All right? She didn't get to go to heaven just because she gave birth to Jesus. She had to get saved like anybody else. And she is not a co-redemptrix. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? She was blessed of all people because she was chosen to bear Jesus and to give him birth. And so maybe we don't need to go as far as the Catholics, but can I say we ought to give her more credit than we do? And so she was a lowly handmaiden. Oh, but because of the position that God granted her, she's going to be called blessed. He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. The more you think about God and his holiness, the more joy you're going to have in your life. It says in verse 50, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Think about 51. He hath showed strength with his arm, and he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Now, when she sang this song, the decree from Herod to kill all the baby boys 2 years of age and under had not yet happened. But can I say that my guess is that she has sung this song more than one time? It could be that as this song was written, maybe she would add a verse here and add a verse there. And when Luke interviewed her and got to have her tell him some things, and he began to, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, write this stuff down, she might have been thinking about how that Herod, that strong king over Judea, the one who had a couple of his own boys killed and killed his own wife. Caesar Augustus said this. He said, it's better to be Herod's pig than to be Herod's son. He'd rather kill a son than he would his favorite pig. And so you've got the Lord. And what is he doing? Oh, listen. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's delivered by the strong arm that God has. He's put the mighty from their seats, and he's exalted them of low degree. Can I tell you, you don't get much lower than shepherds. That is really one of the lowest jobs in Israel, especially in ancient times. They'd always give the youngest kid, the youngest boy, the job of keeping the sheep. The other people were too important for that. But yet, you've got these fellows out on the fields, and they're about there with their sheep. Probably hadn't bathed in weeks. No doubt, little B.O. And they're going, look at that star. Let's go see the baby. And all of this is revealed to them. Can I tell you, I don't think they had a shower before they walked into the to the manger scene. But yet these men of low estate, these men of low degree, these humble guys, what happened to them? They were exalted. Can I tell you, last Sunday, they were exalted again. We had some little guys over here, and they were shepherds. People remember the shepherds. They remember them every year at Christmas. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. And I love this word. He hath holpen. Holpen. You say, what in the world does holpen mean? Well, it's just an old English word which means he's helped. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Oh, as she began to sing this song, the joy just seemed to overflow. And I wished I knew the tune to this. And one day when we get to heaven, maybe she'll sing it for us. We're going to have plenty of time. And so we'll let her sing it to us. And maybe she'll teach it to us. And maybe we'll start singing it ourselves. Or maybe God will give us the ability to write our own song. And we'll have one, and maybe it'll be something that'll say Andy's song, George's song, Tommy's song, Pat's song. And maybe you'll have the ability to write your own song, and you can sing of the goodness and the holiness and the greatness of our God. Now, can I tell you this? Everybody ponders about something. Everybody. Some people ponder football. They think about it. Some people ponder baseball. I've known of young men that have come through this church, and you could ask them about anybody that played baseball for the Braves, and they could tell you what their batting average is. They just love it. Oh, they just think about it. They study it. They play fantasy baseball. They play fantasy football. They play fantasy basketball. And I mean, we just ponder all kind of things. Sometimes we ponder what we're going to do when we go shopping. Well, if I can find this on Black Friday, I'll buy this. And if I can't, this will be my backup plan. And I got to get a pair of shoes for this, even though you got 35 boxes in your closet. You say, how do you know you got 35 boxes? I counted them one time. Or I got to get this tool. You know, it's a sad thing when you can go to Home Depot and not find something that you hadn't already got. But every once in a while, you might need a second one or a third one. But we think about all kind of stuff. We ponder that stuff. Let me ask you a question. What do you ponder about? Can I tell you that we ought to ponder the Lord? We ought to ponder the Lord. Because if you truly ponder the Lord, I can tell you this, you're going to have great joy. You can't think about God not to get happy. You absolutely cannot think about God and not get happy. He's just awesome. The greatness of our Lord. Oh, Mary, she kept those things. She treasured those things. And she pondered them. What do you ponder this morning? Let's ponder Jesus at Christmas, okay? Let's stand together. Thank you for being here today.